You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from paranewsinsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for December 29th, 2015, and episode number 246. That's it. We're done for the year. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, for the last show of 2015. Thank goodness, 2015 was a pain in the rear. And I'm glad to see it go. I usually never say that, but we're looking forward to 2016. And tonight, if you're listening live, here on WCJV, it's going to be an exciting night because this is what we're going to be doing all night. We're going to be talking the paranormal, what's happened this year, and looking forward to next year. And I'm going to start it all off with a lot of good news for the year, what's happened. So tonight's show, we're going to talk about the top cryptozoological books as well as the top 10 cryptozoology stories of 2015. I'll get a quick mention of the book of the week. And the big news tonight, we're going to reveal the countdown of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015 with number 2 and number 1. And hopefully I'll have a little time. Well, heck, I'll make time. We'll talk about the other stories that were also in the top 10 as well. Lots of stuff going on in the news, but I'm going to put off a couple of the stories that I was going to talk about tonight on for next week so we can concentrate on the year that was, 2015. Only a couple of days left here in the year. It's kind of weird to be saying that. It just felt like it was summertime a couple of weeks ago. But I think that's because of the wacky weather. But anyway, as always, I want to mention the International Cryptozoology Museum. They're going to be making a big move next year. And a good chunk of the show tonight is going to be talking about stuff that Lauren Coleman has something to do with. So the least I can do here is thrown this out there for him. And there in the chat room is the GoFundMe site for the International Cryptozoology Museum that is looking for help financially to move next year from its home at 11 Avon Street in downtown Portland, Maine. They're going to be moving closer to the water. It's a larger area, a lot more parking. And it's going to be really exciting to hopefully get out there for myself next year. I'd like to get out there and visit that location. And what else is going on? Well, I'll give a quick shout out again to my friends over there at ParanormalForum.net. My good friend Jim Mallard kind of pushed me in that direction to go to that site. Now, they've been having some issues with their server and everything. That's the web life. But ParanormalForum.net, if you go on there and you can't get in on the site, just be patient. Check back in a day or so. I'm sure they're working on that problem. Lots of great information on them, and I love message boards. I talked about it last week about message boards are like a lost, kind of a lost art, you know, to discussions and talking about things. It's unfortunately been replaced with social media and texting and Twitter and all those fun things and Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, geez Louise, you know, I do a lot of research and I do a lot of debunking here on the Paranormal News Insider. That's pretty much three quarters of what I do. Talking about stories that really are not real, are fake, are hoaxed, or are just plain made up. And right now there's a little bit of stuff going on the old Facebook there. And I just want to let people know that I've already won the magical unicorn that poops fairy dust and farts Skittles or whatever goes on. And I've won that money from Mark Zuckerberg. He's giving me a little smiley face. So, don't even worry about getting your check. I'm going to get all the money. Anyway, there's a big hoax going on. If you remember, I think it was last year, they had that copyright protection. People were plastering that all over their Facebook feeds. And it was unnecessary, and people obviously didn't remember what they acknowledged when they joined Facebook. And, oh my gosh, I could talk on and on about all the hoaxes that have gone through Facebook. But the latest one here, the Facebook hoax, Mark Zuckerberg. No, he's not going to give you money. You can post stuff all day long. He's actually – part of that story is true. He is giving away supposedly 99% of his stock, but it's going to charitable organizations. Even though I would consider the Paranormal News Insider a charitable organization, I could – $1,000, I could – upgrade my mic, buy a new computer, another monitor, buy some t-shirts for everybody out there. Good times. But unfortunately, no, that's not happening. So what else is going on? Yep. Hoax Slayer, Snopes, everybody agrees that it's just not going to happen. So if you see that on your Facebook feed, don't give in to that. And You're not gonna get the money. So, what else is going on here? Well, another story that was that I saw on Facebook, and I probably spend a good chunk of my time, like I said, I see stuff pop up in my newsfeed, and I'm like, that can't be real. Why are these people posting this stuff? And I'll do a quick search of an image or of a story to see what's going on with the stuff, and try to get to the heart of the matter to see if in fact this is a real story. And one that I saw was about a 220 million year old dinosaur egg that supposedly hatched in the United Kingdom Museum. And I thought, that's not possible, because eggs are essentially rock. They're turned to rock. They're not an egg anymore. Once they're buried underground for quite a bit of time. Unfortunately, I don't see how that could happen. I mean, they fossilize. They don't turn into, little egg. They don't sit there. They don't live for 65 million or 220 million years is what this story said. I think it was on a cryptozoology website. Somebody actually believed this story, and I was a little blown away. Like, common sense would say that a little dinosaur egg that's in the ground for 200 million years is not going to just suddenly hatch because of a heating problem that heated up the egg, but somebody believed it. And I had to look it up. I had to believe it, or I had to believe that somebody actually believed it, I should say. And I looked at that and wow. Well, somebody actually believed that story. Interesting stuff. Now, tonight, yes, we're going to be talking the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015. But before I get there, another story got released this week. It's a yearly release from About.com. They do they usually do ghost stories and paranormal stories. I've not seen their paranormal stories yet, but I would assume that that would be probably in the next couple of days, because they just released their 17 best ghost photographs from About.com. And I think they usually wait till New Year's Eve to release their top stories. But nonetheless, their top stories, or I should say their best photographs of ghosts, was published. And not really impressed by these, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them are just hoaxes. A couple of these are actually apps that had fooled people. Some are just pareidolia. Some are interesting. I'm not going to go through all 17 of them, but I've posted the link in the chat room, and I'll also be posting that hopefully over the course of the next couple of days through social media, more or less probably through Facebook, which leads to Twitter. And you can check out this story and look at that. You can also go to paranormal.about.com and get all the paranormal stories and paranormal information that's going on that will be released more than likely over the next couple of days by Stephen Wagner, who's the paranormal phenomena expert over at About.com. He's been doing that for quite a long time, and been following those stories for quite a long time as well. So check that out. And also something that gets released every year is through Lauren Coleman. He does a couple of different things. The Best Cryptozoology Books of 2015 was just released a couple of days ago. And I was excited about that because last year, my book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, was number 6 on the list. So, yeah, I was excited about that. That was probably one of my biggest accomplishments as far as writing a book, next to my first signature inside of a book that I sold to somebody. But, well, then, getting my first copy in the mail was also high up there on the list. But anyway, the top 15 cryptozoology books of 2015 by Lauren Coleman. He had number 1 on his list, Monster Hunters, On the Trail with Ghost Hunters, Bigfooters, Ufologists, and Other Paranormal Investigators by Tia Krulos. Number 2 was Monster Track, The Obsessive Search for Bigfoot by Joe Gassandi. Third was Seeking Bigfoot by Michael Newton. Fourth was The Nature of the Beast by Brian Sykes. And we'll mention Brian Sykes' name later in the show here, as he's been a part of some of the top 10 paranormal news stories over the course of the last couple of years. And number 5 on this list is The Oregon Bigfoot Highway by Joe Bielart and Cliff Olson. Number 6, The Bigfoot Book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates by Nick Redfern. The Asian Wild Man, The Yeti, Yeren, and Olmasti Cultural Aspects and Evidence of Reality by Jean-Paul Debonant is number 7. Number 8, Shadows in the Woods, A Chronicle of Bigfoot in Maine by Daniel S. Green. Number 9, Loch, Lake, and Sea Monsters. Or I should say, In Search of Lake Monsters, a classic for the 1970s. This was an updated book published by Anomalous Books. And also on this list, number 10, Discovering Cadborosaurus by Paul H. LeBlanc and John Kirk. Number 11, Loch Ness from Out of the Depths. Loch Ness was the Loch Ness Monster was also on our top 10 list. Cryptozoology Anthology, edited by Robert Deese, David Coleman, and Wyatt Dole. Number 13, Manifestation of Monsters, Examining the Unusual as Suspects by Dr. Carl P. N. Schuker, with a foreword by Ken Gerhard. Number 14 on the list, Strange Creatures Seldom Seen, Giant Beavers, Sasquatch, Manipogos, and Other Mystery Animals in Manitoba and Beyond by John Worms and Jarmo Sinizello. Sure, okay. And the best reprint of the year, number 15, The Spotted Lion by Kenneth Gander Dower. Now, he also has a little list here of books that he's published that he's not included in his list, because, come on, that's just not fair. The Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, like I mentioned, by myself, was reissued with a new foreword this year, a second edition, an updated version. Did a little of other stuff in there, fixed some punctuation problems and misspellings and a little bit of stuff I wanted to add, and I added a foreword by Lauren Coleman. So probably the book is kind of not going to make that list, but it was awesome to see the book for the second year in a row, and it's the last book mentioned on that list of top cryptozoology books 2015. So yeah, there it goes. Put that list there in the chat room for everybody to read. And yes, Nick Redfern is pretty cool. I got the chance to see him speak. He wasn't live. He was via Skype in Texas. When I was up in Canada for the Mass Mysteria back in June, I think it was. Great time up there in Canada. Met a lot of great people. Got to revisit a lot of great people as well that I haven't been able to see in quite a while as well. So good times. What's going on here? Well, we talked about the top books, so now we're going to move to the top cryptozoology stories of 2015, as done by Lauren Coleman as well. I'm not going to read all of this stuff. I'm just going to read pretty much the headlines, and you can check out the top cryptozoology stories of 2015 as well. And all of these stories are at cryptonews.com. So if you go to cryptonews.com, you can pull up the top books as well as the top cryptozoology stories of 2015 as well. So I'm going to throw that there in the chat room. Let them chew on that for a second. And I'm going to talk about some of the stories here in his top 15. Top 15 books. He's got 10 stories here. And the first one here is Bigfoot Buffoonery, talking about some of the photographs and videos that were hoaxes and just kind of misled people throughout the year. A lot of them happened in January and February. And the second one was Loch Ness and Lake Monsters sightings soar. Easy for him to write that. Loch Ness and Lake Monsters sightings soar. Lots of interesting stuff happened after Loch Ness Monster was pretty quiet over the last couple of years. Other than some hoaxes, there's some decent stories in the news this year regarding Nessie and some other lake monsters. His number three story, Lizard Man Laments. You know, I didn't get into the Lizard Man. I saw a lot of stuff posted, ridiculous photograph. I didn't cover that because it just kind of died, and I just didn't cover it. But it did was a decently viral story this year. The number four story, Taliban impacts search for Yetis. Don't really remember that, but sure. Well, it made its list. And the fifth story here is about the supposed sea monster photographed off the island of Corfu on the Greek coast that turned out to be a buoy that is attached to boats to keep it from hitting docks. That story was in the top 10. My top 10, I should say. Doubtful Mothman Moments was number six. Number seven was recognized in the Bigfoot community's historical figures. And the point of that story is, since modern-day Sasquatch research and Bigfoot investigation really began in the late 1940s, 1950s, a lot of these great researchers that have paved the way for people such as myself have passed away or are getting up there in age, and a lot of people every year are dying. And it's really sad to see some of these people that have spent a majority of their lives involved in the search for Bigfoot that are now, you know, passing away or unable to get out there in the field and not just investigate but research as well. So a little bit of tip of the hat to those who have passed away during the year. Number eight talks about some new species that were discovered. The Urubamba brown TT monkey was confirmed as a new species in Peru. The hog-nosed rat, cute little guy, also discovered this year. A new canid species, African golden wolf, was found where else but in Africa. And a new species of Galapagos tortoise was discovered as well. Number nine story, finding Bigfoot spawns copycats. Well, what popular TV show does not spawn copycat TV shows? But it's interesting how ghost TV shows pretty much run the market, and UFO shows come and go, but they're pretty infrequent. Usually only one big one and maybe one or two small ones at any given point in time. And cryptozoology is kind of just taking a back seat to all this. Now, you did have the what was that big show a couple of years ago? Let's see. I think it's in the story somewhere. Monster Quest was a big show. Talked about for, I think it was only on like 3-4 years. And then Finding Bigfoot debuted. It was a big story. It's actually in my historical top 10 because this was big to have a show just on Bigfoot to be on, maybe not so much prime time, but to be on a major network, a major cable network, talking about Bigfoot. So that kind of paved the way for a lot of these other ones that are coming out. There's some really horrible ones, including a TV show. We had Finding Bigfoot, but we also have one now called Killing Bigfoot. Ridiculous. Anyway, the number 10 is the International Cryptozoology Museum on the Move. And I've talked about that already, about trying to help and donate to the International Cryptozoology Museum to make their transition a little easier. And at the bottom of that story, they give a little photograph and a little bit of information about that upcoming location. And let's see, we're going to talk real quick. I'm going to throw out the book of the week, get that out of the way. Since it talks about, we just got done talking about cryptozoology and talking a little bit about Bigfoot, I want to mention this book before it goes away. This book, I noticed a story pop up on Newsweek that kind of made the rounds in the paranormal blogs and the news outlets and things, talking about Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, all the names. What do all these names mean? And what is Bigfoot? And what is Sasquatch? And I thought it was really interesting to see this. And I knew I'd seen this book that I'm going to talk about here. And I knew it was done by Newsweek. And the book here is a special Newsweek edition. They have some pretty cool ones every now and again. And you got to keep a sharp lookout for these things because they come and go pretty quick. And by the time you hear about them, they're usually gone. And this special Newsweek edition is about Bigfoot, the science, sightings, and search for America's elusive legend. And you can get this book. It's going to be on the newsstand until January 23rd of 2016. And you can get this thing anywhere. You don't have to go to a bookstore. You can go to Walmart has it. If you dare enter the realm of Wally World, you can find this at the checkout area next to your Kim Kardashian pictures and who's dying this week or who's on a diet and who's losing 100, who can tell you how to lose 100 pounds in 5 days. You'll see this book here as well. You might have to do a little searching for it. But the special Newsweek edition of Bigfoot, it's $9.99 minus tax or whatever. But it's a really great book if you're into Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and you want just some basic, good basic information, a lot of background information, some good photographs. It's a great book. It does share some interesting information, kind of cobbled together in the form of stories. I was kind of shocked here, though. There's a little bit of missing information, stuff that I was kind of shocked that wasn't involved in this, but they kind of keep a very sharp focus on Bigfoot and Sasquatch and Yeti and don't really veer too far away. They do talk about some historical people that have researched and investigated Bigfoot over the years, as well as some hoaxes and things like that. No mention of Lauren Coleman, which I'm kind of shocked about, and some other weird stuff that's not mentioned in the book. But one cool thing that I really, really enjoy that I've used actually in the presentations that I do on cryptozoology, I have this picture of the United States, and it has each state with pretty much their historical amounts of sightings per state, and it kind of darkens each state to show which one has the most sightings over the course of the last however many years. And this one's got kind of an updated version of that one, and that was first published by the BFRO, which is the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. Yes, he's the guy from Finding Bigfoot. That's Matt Moneymaker, and he's not called Matt Moneymaker for a joke. That's his real name, and well, I won't get too far down that road. But anyway, the map is cool because it shows the states, like I mentioned. And you see on this map, the state of Washington has by far the most amount of sightings with 613. You then have California with 431. And it drops all the way to the 200s. Well, no, sorry, take that back. Florida is number 3 with 306 sightings. Then you have the state of Illinois. Yeah, Illinois. Weird. 270 sightings. And where I sit here in Ohio, yes, Ohio is in the top 5 with 259 sightings. Oregon has 242. Then Texas, 209. And the state of Michigan with 204. If I missed your state, Well, you stink. Look for some states here. New York has 102. Pennsylvania has 110. So interesting. And if you're in Louisiana, 41, which is weird. Oklahoma, 91. Arkansas, home of the Boggy Creek Monster, 95. So it's kind of interesting. If you get this, you can look at all the states, all the United States, and kind of get a glimpse as to where Bigfoot has been reported. A lot of other information here throughout this magazine. Seems to have a little bit of focus here on the BFRO, Cliff Brockman, Matt Moneymaker. He's got a few pictures in here. But nonetheless, it's a great book. Mentions Brian Sykes and a number of other people involved in Bigfoot research and investigation. A little bit of movie background, but again, no mention of the legend of Boggy Creek. I'm really blown away by that. It has obviously Harry and the Hendersons, which should be in there. It's a show. It's a movie about Bigfoot there. It's probably the biggest one. It mentions Little Bigfoot and the Little Bigfoot 2, which is a really creepy show about a little baby Bigfoot on the loose. But no mention of anything that's not completely Bigfoot related. And it has the unfortunate thing of showing all the commercials that Bigfoot's been linked to. And I use linked because of Jack Link's beef jerky. It's also a couple of vehicle commercials and Skittles. I mentioned Skittles earlier. He's also in a Skittles commercial. T-Mobile, 5-Hour Energy, Wheat Thins. I hope he's getting paid for that because that's a lot of money there. A great book. And like I said, you only have a couple of weeks to pick this up. There is a link. You can also buy this online if you want to you want to hurry up and get your copy before they're pulled off the newsstands. You can still get one online through Newsweek, through that story there. But I'll also throw that in the chat room if you're interested in getting a hold of that book quickly. But again, you can venture into Walmart. I'm sure drugstores and all kinds of other places will have that book as well. So now we're going to jump into... Well, I think I'm going to talk real quick here about some of these stories of the past. 2008, I started the Paranormal News Insider. I was just doing a quick segment on the show called The Grand Dark Conspiracy that was heard. I don't remember what night of the week we started, but we did it as a monthly show for 2 years until 2010. Then it became a weekly show. And I was the first guest on that show way back in April of 2008, and came back on a couple of months later to kind of shift the show. We had, I think, three, four, five, however many guests on in a row that were all about ghosts and paranormal topics. Lloyd Auerbach, author John Kachuba, and a number of other people followed me. And he wanted to shift the show in a different direction. So we started talking about paranormal news. And one of the stories that we talked about was the Bigfoot hoax of Georgia back in 2008 that was actually ongoing at that time. So that was something that we talked about and ended up launching the show later on that month. And it gave me the autonomy to do whatever I wanted to do with the show. And it's been a fun ride. It's been a roller coaster of trying to find enough time to do it, switching networks multiple times over the years. And just trying to find something that works with this show that people will want to tune into week after week. And unfortunately, the show, The Grand Dark Conspiracy, came to an end last year in June. We was going to relaunch the show on a new network, but that did not work out, unfortunately. And towards the end there, I was a co-host, and Dave Considine was also a co-host. And you're going to be hearing from Dave later on tonight. And what's up with that? Well, to remind you, that's coming up later tonight on WCJV. And yes, you are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York. And this is the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yes, at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Mountain, 6 o'clock Pacific. And if you live in Hawaii, you can figure that out on your own. Tonight, Frank Lee has Dave Considine, demonologist, and myself, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, the skeptical scientist. Uh-oh, you know what that means. The gloves are coming off tonight on Paranormalities and Ponderings with host Frank Lee. It's going to be a fun time. Dave and I have known each other for quite a long time. We get along, even though we are from different ends of the spectrum as far as belief and different things are concerned. We do really seem to connect as far as researchers and investigators. And like I've mentioned before, how we solve cases, it's all about problem solving. It's all about helping people. That's what we do. That's what we're here for. So tune in tonight, an hour after I'm done rambling on tonight about the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015. It's going to be a good time. Don't miss out. Yes, there's the mugs. Dave, Frank, and Dr. Brian bringing you some quality entertainment for 2 hours. And yes, I may let Frank talk a little bit. Dave likes to talk. Dave's a talker. He's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. So Frank and I are going to have to, you know, try to work in some word in edgewise. Just kidding, Dave. He's a great guy and extremely knowledgeable. Looking forward to that tonight. But you got another half hour of me, and we're going to talk some historical stuff real quick here. As I mentioned, I started back in 2008, and the Georgia Bigfoot hoax was the big story of that time. But 2008 was a great year for paranormal news, and I wish I had started on earlier in the year. Earlier in that year, you had the Stephenville, Texas UFO event that was huge. Unfortunately, the military has pretty much written that off as military flares. But a lot of people think that's just a cover-up. I mean, it was a pretty dramatic event. People saw a huge ship in the sky. It was very reminiscent to the Phoenix Lights that happened in the early 1990s. That's how big the story was. It was huge. That was a number three story. The Georgia Bigfoot hoax was number two. And the Montauk Monster. Sure, you might remember that. It's been quite a while. But the Montauk Monster story with the pictures of the that the girl found this thing on the beach in Montauk. The story took on a life of its own, from being some kind of experiment to what kind of creature is this thing? Is this some kind of monster? It turned out to be a raccoon. And it took a lot of people, a lot of stories and a lot of information to get that out to people and to convince people, to let people know, hey, this is not what you're thinking. Now, 2009 was a kind of a weak year for paranormal news stories. As a matter of fact, I only have two. I don't even have the whole top 10 here. The Return of the Montauk Monster was number two. Different story with different pictures, but the same result. And the number one story was UFO Strikes Wind Turbine. That happened in Lincolnshire, England, where a 65-foot tall blade a long blade off of a 290-foot tall wind turbine just went missing. I don't even know if they ever found the blade, but it was reported that this woman in the area saw this UFO hovering over the area and crashed into this thing. And it was a huge viral story for quite a while, and people were arguing back and forth as to what was going on. It ended up being just failure of the bolts holding this thing on. But a weak year, and a weak year also in 2010. The number three story was a prediction on October 13th that New York City would have UFOs flying over. This was done by a retired Air Force officer, Stanley Fulham, who predicted a tentative show of UFOs over multiple major U.S. cities. And his prediction was correct. Over New York City, there were UFOs reported, and people lost their minds because this story had been put out a couple of days prior to. And this report of UFOs over the skies of New York City made people lose their minds. People were talking about this from CNN to Fox and everywhere else. But unfortunately, yeah, they were explainable. They were just balloons. The number two story of 2010 was the airport in Shaoxing, China, was shut down supposedly due to a UFO encounter, although there were no pieces of evidence to back that story up. The number one story of 2010 Multiple U.S. Air Force officers gathered at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. to hold a press conference about their knowledge of UFOs. The big thing that year was the word disclosure. And it was great to see a lot of people get together. That year, it seemed like the press was really taking UFOs a little bit more seriously. And a lot of people covered this story without making fun of UFOs, without having the X-Files theme in the background during the showing of the story. So there was a little bit of respect with that. And that's why that story made it to number one. 2011 was another huge year for paranormal stories. The number three story was Finding Bigfoot. As I just mentioned, that TV show that kind of helped launch a lot of other TV shows. I was looking forward to that being a show that would not only pave the way for other TV shows, but that would bring a little bit of science and maybe a little bit of scrutiny. Yeah, I didn't know how that was going to turn out. But anyway, it did kind of pave the way. It did make a little bit of headway for other stories. The number two story was a flockalypse. If you've never heard of flockalypse, wow. Well, I got a t-shirt for that. The flockalypse was multiple stories throughout the year that added up to a lot of people being nervous about why are all these animals dying off. Now, most of these animal die-offs were normal, very natural. And you'll probably hear quite a few of these coming up in January and February as the weather gets a lot more cold consistently across here in the United States. You'll hear plenty of stories that happen in the Northern Hemisphere as the weather gets cold. It's just called natural selection. Animals die off, and large groups of animals also die off. But it freaked a lot of people out, and it was very concerning to see the number of animals that were dying all at once. And the number one story of 2011 was the Jerusalem UFO videos. Now, I always say that if you get a UFO video and that's the only video out there, don't believe it, because one person filming is not going to do much good and it doesn't really provide any validity to the story. But multiple witnesses would, multiple videos would as well. And that's what we had there. We had two videos from two distinct points showing pretty much the exact same thing. Now, a couple of other videos started to pop up, and that's when the wheels fell off and people realized that these videos were not synced very well. The first two, you know, were probably done by the same person and just kind of distributed out, or somebody was a really good copier, I should say, and was able to copy that in original hoax video very well. And unfortunately, it did turn out to be a hoax, but it was a very long, drawn-out hoax, and it took MUFON a few months, the Mutual UFO Network, to get in there and disseminate the videos and disseminate that information. But you would think that a lot of other people would have stepped forward, and that was the other big concerning thing about that story, that not a lot of people really jumped and said, hey, I was there, I have a picture, or I was there and I saw something in the sky. So that's 2011. 2012 was another big year in the paranormal. The Higgs boson was discovered by CERN. The Baltic Sea UFO was number two, and sky noise was number one. The Baltic Sea UFO, if you remember this, was some sort of anomaly at the bottom of the ocean, the Baltic Sea, that looked like the Millennium Falcon. And that picture was bouncing all over the internet. And this group was serious on trying to bring this thing up. And the story lasted well over a year. It lasted well into 2013 before it was finally debunked. And these guys were just trying to get money and attention to fund their dives looking for historical treasures. And the number one story of 2012, sky noise, which a couple of these stories were debunked right after that. And some of the videos that you see on sky noise actually use the same sounds video to video. But that phenomena is real. And part of it is explainable by atmospheric conditions. But there's still some questions out there as to how do you explain all of it? You can explain a good chunk of these things. A lot of the videos are wrong. They're hoaxes. They're fakes. But what about the rest of it? Something is definitely going on out there with that. And that's why that's number one in 2012. 2013, Dr. Melba Ketchum's effort to prove Bigfoot with DNA, which is through what's called the Erickson Project, which is ended up being pretty much a disaster. That was the number three story. The number two story was sky noise once again. Sky noise lasted quite a while in the news. You don't hear too much about it anymore, but it's still out there, like I said. And the number one story was Brian Sykes' DNA study, which was bringing science to cryptozoology. And that one was a little bit more important than Dr. Melba Ketchum's effort, which was a complete disaster. Had I known how horrible it would have been, I don't think I would have put it number three. But anyway, Brian Sykes' DNA study pretty much debunked quite a few of the top Bigfoot stories of that time. So last year, what happened last year in 2014? Well, it was not a huge year either for the paranormal. The number three story was ghostly figures at soccer games. Well, not really soccer as we know it, but we call it soccer, but the rest of the world calls it football. And there was a couple of videos that were very, very viral about supposed ghosts that were running on either on the field or in the background that turned out just to be reflections. Actually, the one that was the person looked like a person running through the crowd, looked like impossible. But later on, a different shot of that person running through showed how wide of an aisle this person had, and it pretty much debunked any kind of ghostly figure. But it was those two together were very viral. And in 2011, there was also a string of stories that happened at American football games that had UFO sightings in the background that was very, very similar. I believe that story was in the top five. The number two story last year was lots of individual UFO sightings turned into MUFON. And there also their failed Kickstarter campaign to raise money for their new case management online system, which they're still using their old one, unfortunately. The number one story last year, cryptozoology is attempting to embrace science. And that story was about the International Cryptozoology Museum that was announcing a new scientific journal, the International Cryptozoology Museum Journal. And they're having their first annual conference next January, actually in a couple of weeks, down in Florida. So that's going to kind of highlight what's going on with that. But it's great to see cryptozoology moving toward science in some way, shape, or form, because it's really hard for UFOs to do that so much as you have government people covering stuff up on one end. You have other people that just believe anything and everything. And you have those of us in the middle that are trying our best to work with other people to uncover actual information and knowledge. And it seems like everyone's working against each other for that. And the ghost field, well, the ghost field is the ghost field. There's a lot of us that are trying to do – it's kind of the same thing. A lot of people working against each other. People out there making assumptions and doing some silly things out there. But it is what it is. So that being said, the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015. Well, we're going to talk real quick about some of the stories that were earlier. If you missed the other shows, shame on you. I've been doing it for a month, 4 weeks now. I've been counting down two at a time. And now tonight, December 29th, this is it. We're going to talk the rest of the top 10. But first, kind of recap here real quick. Number 10 was a video that surfaced in early September that was called Real Pterosaur Spotted Over Idaho, USA. This was that little video of the supposed pterodactyl-looking thing that people thought was either CGI or it was a radio-controlled aircraft or was the real deal. Well, nobody could agree on this, and people were arguing back and forth. And unfortunately, the person who posted it, the original source, this person's YouTube channel is filled with hoax videos that were, to me, just kind of ruined the whole thing. Although I'd still like to know how they did it. Is it CGI or is it remote control? I would honestly have to say CGI more than likely. But that was the number 10 story. It was a very viral video. Number 9 was the image and subsequent video of the Jersey Devil that took the internet by storm. And Good Morning America covered this story as well, just like they did the Mark Zuckerberg money giveaway. Well, actually, they actually did cover this story about the Jersey Devil. And this was, again, another very viral story. It was a kind of a flash in the pan, though, that was only around for a couple of days. But it really stirred up a lot of emotions, and a lot of people were really jumping on this story. And a lot of science coverage as well, a lot of skeptics that wrote some interesting stories about it as well. Number eight was about the Loch Ness Monster, talking about a book by Gareth Williams, A Monstrous Commotion, that he stated that the Loch Ness Monster was a story created for tourism in the 1930s. And the number seven story was the floating city in China. Thousands of people reported seeing a strange city floating in the sky, complete with skyscrapers, in the city of Foshan. And then later in Jiangxi, China, another sighting as well. But people lost their minds. Conspiracy theorists were quick to make out a lot of accusations, thinking it was anything from Project Bluebeam to a temporal vortex, a parallel universe materializing. Some people thought that China was just using their technological achievements to create holographic technology just to see how people would react. Yeah, it turned out to be just really an illusion called Fata Morgana, and it was just basically a temperature inversion. But some people actually saying that the whole thing was a hoax, that it was just made up, that Snopes declared the story is really as unproven, that many of the pieces of the story don't even add up. But it was very viral nonetheless, and it made the top 10. The number six story was another video of a cryptid that was about the dodo bird. The supposed video of a extinct dodo bird showed up on YouTube, and people started passing this around and wondering whether or not this was the real deal. And there was a lot of inconsistencies with that as well, that even though I wanted to believe in this story, unfortunately, it turned out to be a hoax, as the second video surfaced that showed the dodo bird holding up a cue card that said, I wish I was real. Very sad about that story. I was really hoping that that would turn out. But if it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. The number five story on the countdown this year was the Charlie Challenge. If you don't remember that, well, this happened at the end of May, right around May 23rd, where it was people were just going viral about this Charlie Challenge. People were freaking out. People were publishing stories about not messing with this thing. And, you know, people were playing around with this like it was no real big deal, although the same people were terrified of Ouija boards. I thought that was kind of funny. Now, a lot of people thought that this was a viral campaign for the movie The Gallows, which I did as well. But Snopes.com disagrees with this, saying that the video was uploaded a day prior to the breakout of the Charlie Challenge. What I mean by video is a video of The Gallows that was published in South America that showed this Charlie Challenge. But I think, you know, a day or the dates, I think that's really inconsequential. I think the people that were behind this were the people that had something to do with The Gallows, and I think the producers did this. I just don't think that Snopes has dug up enough information on that story. But that's what they're saying about it. The number four story I mentioned in the top cryptozoology stories by Lauren Coleman was the Harvey Robertson story about he was a Scottish tourist that was on vacation that was taking pictures in sea caves, and he got a picture of this strange animal that went viral, and it turned out to be just a boat bumper. But this story was very, very viral, and people still don't agree on whether or not it was actually a boat bumper or not. People are still arguing the story months after it happened. The number three story was misidentified rocket launches. The major one happened on September 2nd over the skies of southern Florida, where a launch made people think that a UFO was invading Florida for whatever reason. And it looked pretty cool. And if you see pictures of this, remember pictures of this, it was pretty scary. And people were losing their minds over that. And even though it was all over the news. But then the same thing happened on November 7th, this time in the West Coast. Off of California, a rocket was launched from a USS Kentucky from a ship. It was a ballistic missile submarine, the USS Kentucky. And this was just a test flight, but again, people lost their minds. It was seen all over the West Coast, and nobody knew what was going on. And of course, we're thinking UFO invasion. We're thinking the end of the world. We're thinking, we're thinking Independence Day, all kinds of strange things. And it was an extremely viral story, even though it wasn't quite paranormal. It was kind of UFO related. And again, people were kind of freaking out about that story. So that was the number three story. And now that brings us to number two and number one on the countdown for this year's top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015, as done by myself, the insider, Brian D. Parsons, here on the Paranormal News Insider. So if you don't like the top 10, you don't like the way it's done, blame me, because this is all me. This is just how I see it. And again, I base this on how popular these stories are, how viral they get, whether they're local stories, regional stories, or global stories, how long they last, how long they're viral, days, weeks, months, or their ongoing stuff. And the biggest weight is on how they have an impact, if they have any kind of impact on the paranormal at all, and how much they do for their respective fields. So that being said, the number two story this year is Bigfoot. Yes, Bigfoot. I talked about it at the top cryptozoology stories, the number one story for Lauren Coleman's top 10 stories of 2015 was about Bigfoot buffoonery. And that's the exact same thing that I'm going to be talking about tonight. It's been the year that Bigfoot has made numerous headlines and being captured clearly on photos and videos for the first time. Well, he's done it a number of times. The year started out with photos from a Florida fisherman who fooled a lot of people with a very horrible Photoshop attempt, as well as from the Arizona Department of Transportation that submitted a photo jokingly that they thought resembled a family of Bigfoot on the side of the road. Well, so some so-called investigators claim to have witness testimony as well as tracks from the area, although those of us who did some simple research found out that they were just trees. They were just trees. Trees don't leave footprints. No, maybe carbon footprints, but they don't leave physical footprints. These were just trees that never moved from their position. Well, then we had the Turner Maine video that was peddled by Bill Brock since 2014. The entire case turned out to be a hoax perpetuated by a kid. This kid fooled a lot of people, including a lot of experts, that claimed the video was the best since the Patterson-Gimlin film. Ouch. Bigfoot's Russian cousin then made his appearance at the Adygaya Republic area of southwestern Russia in what is now called the Snowy Woods video. A team of scientists were in the area following up on sightings when they captured the video. Some say that it was merely a stunt to drum up tourism. And the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization then debunked the first video of the year, shot at Lettuce Lake Park near Tampa, Florida. And while many felt that this was just merely a Photoshop attempt gone awry, it turned out to be a hoax to get attention and ultimately make it on Finding Bigfoot. Well, then a very viral story, the sighting of a purported Bigfoot family stalking bison near the Old Faithful Geyser at Yellowstone National Park. Yeah, that one turned out to just be a group of people. And it's interesting because I keep checking that camera all the time, and I checked it all summer long, and I did find hikers hiking in that exact same area. But you never hear about that story too much anymore. So why is the story in the top 10? Well, Bigfoot hoaxes really are nothing new. Now, I talked about the big one in 2008. This series of hoaxes all gained momentum within the first few weeks of 2015, making it feel like everyone was getting in on the action. Now, a few of these stories remained in the circle of Bigfootery, while others generated a lot of public speculation and were viral stories. Now, a lot of these were obvious hoaxes, and some did bring the question whether these represented the proof that the world needed in order to validate the existence of Bigfoot once and for all. And why is it only number two? Well, it didn't really prove anything other than Bigfoot investigators can either be gullible or very clever in discovering hoaxes. Despite these stories owning the paranormal headlines for the first few weeks of the year, one story trumped all others in being the most viral and stirring belief in the paranormal. So what story is that? The number one paranormal news story of 2015 is, what's also one of the most viral paranormal stories of the year. And this story took place way back on Friday, March 6th in Spanish Fork, Utah. A woman was driving home from her parents' house in Salem, Utah to her home in Springville, only 10 miles away. Sadly, around halfway to her destination, 25-year-old Lynn Grosbeck lost control of her vehicle, struck a cement barrier, and ended up in the Spanish Fork River, with her 18-month-old baby strapped into her car seat in the back of the vehicle. Nearly 14 hours later, fishermen discovered the overturned car in the river and called police. As police and firefighters arrived, they made their way to the vehicle, unsure if anyone was still alive. All five of the three policemen and two firefighters at the scene of the car purportedly heard the words, quote, help me now, unquote, from inside of the vehicle, accompanied with some screaming. This fueled the men's efforts into getting into the car quickly and discovering the baby and bringing her to safety. Unfortunately, Lynn had died in the crash, and the 18-month-old girl named Lily was unconscious, yet still alive despite being only inches from the freezing water, wearing no gloves or hat. A lot of people claim this was a feel-good story, but to me it's pretty sad that the young mother perished and that her daughter will not be able to grow up with her. But was this ghostly voice an example of a crisis apparition? Now, a crisis apparition is described as someone who is about to, going through, or just went through the dying process and is able to communicate to someone through unknown means. Granted, my first thought with this, though, it could be pareidolia. The sound of rushing water or other ambient noises in the background might have made the men feel as though they heard someone in the car. And one question I had was that if these officers were wearing body cameras with sound, why couldn't we at least hear the few moments of audio? Obviously, the discovery of the driver, Lynn Grosbeck, who could be partially seen in one of the previous released videos, would be a bit gruesome and insensitive to show. But days after the accident, part of the video on the body cam was released. But it took until March 14th when a full 11 minutes and 45 seconds, including the moment where the voice was supposedly heard around the 1 minute 58 second mark, was put on YouTube. Now, watching the video, there was a lot of yelling, talking, including female voices. There was a lot of radio chatter, sirens, cars, rushing water, and more going on during the rescue. Now, the female who worked on the infant inside of the ambulance was standing only a few feet away, and she was talking at the time, and she was rooting on the firefighters and police. So this information is pretty much enough to discredit the man's claims. Lynn Grosbeck's autopsy revealed that she had been using heroin and was under the influence of a number of drugs, and a small bag of marijuana and tramadol was also found in the vehicle. So why is this story in the top 10? Well, this was the largest viral story dealing with ghostly phenomena all year. And despite the evidence of a bystander potentially being the source of the noise, or I should say the voice, there still exists a strong possibility that this was in fact a voice from beyond death. So why is it number one? Despite the tragic end to Lynn's life, the focus has always been on the luck of the survival of Lily. The story will always be remembered as a miraculous effort for a mother to save her baby from death from beyond the grave, and has inspired many people to believe in the possibility of life after death. So there you have it. There's the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2015. And that's the last show of the year. I hope you enjoyed that list. And that list will be published tomorrow. Obviously, tonight it's going to be on the archive. But tomorrow I'll also publish my own archive here on the Paranormal News Insider at paranewsinsider.com. But also, there's also going to be a blog story that's going to be pretty much what I read to you here and including a lot of links. You can watch these videos, you can look at these photographs, and you can weigh the evidence yourself. You can review any of these stories that you want to review. The YouTube link with the voice can also be accessed through this blog. It's going to be released automatically tomorrow, and you'll be able to check that out. And I'll be pushing that out to a lot of other outlets throughout the hopefully the next couple of days. I'm sure they're going to be inundated with countdown lists and things like that. But I want to get that published, get that out there so people have a hard copy. They can look at this. And I've done that in the past so people can review these stories on their own and not have to listen through, you know, however long they have to listen to hear these stories. So that being said, that's it for tonight. That's it for this year. I hope you enjoyed the Paranormal News Insider. And as always, like I always say here, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.